You would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We'll begin with verse 28. If you don't have your Bibles with you, there should be one in the pew there in front of you. We'll be looking through some of these verses specifically this morning. God, there's so much in your word that depicts who you are, what you stand for, what you call us to. God, I thank you specifically, personally, for the way that you have used the praise and worship we've had this morning to speak to me, for me to recognize your power, that staying power, the power that enables us to recognize the reason for hope and the purpose in our lives. And Lord, then to be able to share that with others. God, I thank you for that in the midst of a world where so many people are hurting and so many people just don't have hope. God, help us to see in this study of the Transfiguration today what it really means to experience change. Change that takes us to a place that we can't get without you. Prayer we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you, well, I looked up the word transfiguration, not necessarily in a Bible dictionary, just in a general dictionary to look and see how they define transfiguration. And this is what was said: a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. Transfiguration is a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. As we look at the first verses here in chapter 9 that Jimmy just read, we look at verse 28 and the few after that. We'll see that something is happening. It's not just a scripture about what was said. There's something that took place here. What are the people in the first verse doing? What actions are they taking? What are they doing in verse 28? They're praying. What else are they doing? They went somewhere. Where'd they go? Up a mountain. There was movement. There was movement with a purpose, and there was prayer. And prayer is connected. When we think of the transfiguration, there's an experiencing of the glory of Christ. Is anybody else here ringing? Or is it just me? All right. Is there anything, Hunter? Is there anything with the ringing can come? I don't know if I'm talking too loud or standing in the wrong place or what. Is that better? All right, good. So with the transfiguration, we know it's a spiritual thing. We know that there's an awesomeness of Christ here. And so it fits with the definition that we had, that it was a beautiful or a spiritual state of just magnificence. But if you look at what's connected to here, this time, this experience, what's going on, Jesus is praying. Prayer is a obvious foundational component of this experience. And somehow or another, I think we often forget that. We talk about the transfiguration. We talk about what happened. We talk about the players. But I think sometimes we fail to realize it started off with prayer. Prayer, talking to God and listening to God, is a foundation of who we are, who we're to be with His people, and we're to be that on a daily, several times a day basis. And that's required in order for us to experience the transformations that He desires to bring into our lives. So change happens when we pray, and change is happening here. The transfiguration took place. Now, the content of the conversation here is also related to His splendor. If you look, it says the two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking to Jesus. You know what they were talking about? You do if we read the next verse. It says they spoke about His departure which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. When God is about to do something, rarely does he try to hide it from us. Now, our minds can't often grasp the fullness of it, so we may not understand everything. And so he may not try to help us understand everything because we're limited in our humanness. But God doesn't usually try to make it a secret what he's going to do and what his glory is going to be like, because he wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to be excited about it. So when we pray and we want to be a part of experiencing God's transformational power, we need to go into that prayer with expectation, knowing that something is going to happen, because we don't worship a God. We don't pray for a God. We aren't saved by a God who just sits there and says, God is about doing something. God is about helping us to be the people God wants us to be so others can be drawn to him. But we sometimes have a problem that the disciples had. What happened with the disciples in the scriptures? Not the only time this happened to them in scripture, by the way. They were sleeping. Now, don't you think with something this big, and think about it, Jesus takes you up a mountain. Don't you think he's just doing something other than out for a leisurely walk? And I admit, I might get tired walking up the mountain too. But they fell asleep right before the transfiguration. And you know, we like to give these guys a hard time sometimes. Why didn't they have their act more together? Why didn't they realize what was important? Why didn't they do the right thing? But we have a lot more in common with these guys than what we want to admit sometimes. That's right. They didn't know what we know. And yet, I'll go off on that just a little bit since Melissa brought it up. We sometimes say it would be easier to live back with the disciples if we had been able to walk with Jesus, if we had been able to walk up that mountain, if we had been able to experience a transfiguration. But you think about it. You do that, but you don't have scripture. You don't have the hindsight that we have. You don't know what it was going to be like when Jesus died on the cross, but this happened. I think theirs may have been a little bit more challenging than what we are. We've got all of the scriptures, all of the truth of the scriptures. And so we read that. So just like Melissa said, we know a lot more than they did. Yet we still, and what I'm going to say, we still fall spiritually asleep sometimes, just like these disciples did. Peter, James, and John were unaware of the glory of Jesus around them. We fall asleep when we fail to recognize God's glorious transformational splendor around us. And it is. Is God present with us right here? Is God present with you when you leave here? Is God present with you at work? Is God present with you in your families? Is God present with you when you're in the midst of having an argument with somebody? Is God present in the midst of your financial struggles, the church's financial struggles? God is present, and he has splendor. He has power. And we need to recognize that. And when we do, it changes our perspective, because then we recognize we aren't responsible for controlling as much as we often try to do on our own. But we fall spiritually asleep. How do we do that? We fall spiritually asleep just from not paying attention. But if we do pay attention, God desires to be a part of transforming our lives. And these are the three ways he can do it. If we will seek him, if we will wake up from our naps of not, we need sleep. But I mean, don't fall into that numbness of, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I go to church. Yes, I read my Bible and I wake up the next day or the next week and I do it all over again. This is supposed to be, it is an active relationship that is continually growing and changing. And we need to be willing to embrace that. If we do that, there are times, and there's ways that I'm guessing your life could benefit from a transformation right now. Some people in this room could benefit from having a transformation in your physical situation. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's something to do with your house. Maybe it could be a lot of different things. But with the physical situation you're in, there's something that you might be able to benefit from. And you know God's a part of that. God works in that. And I've seen that. I'm not going to take time to give a bunch of examples now, but I hope you've seen it, and I hope you believe that. And if you struggle with it, come and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about that, talk about your situation, pray with you about that. And then there's also the transformation in the way that we think. The way we think about ourselves, the way we think about others. And when we allow ourselves to experience God's splendor and recognize that presence, it changes the way we think about ourselves and about others. And just one more. It transforms the way we respond. It transforms the way we respond in our everyday life. We're going to behave differently if we're recognizing the presence and the splendor of Christ around us. I'm going to give you a scripture reference. Not going to take time to read both of them right now, but if you want to write it down, if you've got some, you may want to go back and look later. But there's this idea of the big picture. God is coming in all His glory, and it changed the way that these guys, even though they fell asleep, they woke up. And if you look further in Scripture at John chapter 1, verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, and then 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, you will read what John and Peter said about their experiences. They go back and talk about this transfiguration. And I'm telling you, when we have things like that happening in our lives, it doesn't just happen at one time and we go on and we forget about it. It's something that we carry with us. And we build on that. And it doesn't just change our lives. It changes the lives of those around us. And we talk about testimonies. A testimony isn't something you just get up and talk about the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As important as that is, your testimony grows every single day of your Christian born-again life. And that's what we're supposed to be about sharing. That's what John and Peter do here. And we may not experience the transfiguration in the same way they did, but if we have our eyes open, we will experience His transformational power, and it will make a difference in our conversations. It will make a difference in what we tell other people. Kind of the concluding thing here, and it's another thing that can be missed sometimes. If you look, It said that Peter didn't know what he was doing. You know what that's about? Somebody tell me where that is in the scripture and what you think that may be about. What's happening here? I'll read the scripture for you. It says, as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. Why do you think it said that? It doesn't really spell it out, but why do you think he didn't know what he was saying? Any ideas? Any thoughts? You see, he was doing something that God didn't want to be done. He was building not one altar, but three altars. He was also building an altar to Moses and to Elijah. Now, Moses and Elijah are great characters in the Bible. They have a great role in the Bible. There's a reason they were part of the transfiguration. They were part of the transfiguration because they were pointing to the glory and the power and the splendor of Jesus Christ. They were not to be worshipped. They were to be recognized as a model of what it means to serve the one that we are to worship. And that's what we're supposed to do. There is supposed to be nothing, nothing that comes to an equal in our relationship with God. God should be above anything and everything at all times. And I've shared this before, so I'm not going to elaborate too much, but it can be anything from your money to your freedom, to your relationships. None of those are supposed to trump our relationship with God. And if it does, we're in trouble. So, as we conclude, we see that Jesus says, "This is my Son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept to themselves and did not tell others. Jesus, God said for us to do what? What was the instruction that he gave us? We were to do what? Listen. Listen to Jesus. We're to listen to God. We're to pay attention to Jesus. We read our scriptures. We're in prayer. It all goes back. It came full circle. How did Jesus start the transfiguration experience? What did he do? He prayed. Prayer isn't just a religious word. It isn't just something we do at church. It isn't something we just do when we pray and we're eating too much food. Or when we need something. Melissa's right. Prayer is constant communication with God, and when we do that, then we can recognize the splendor, the transformational splendor. So that transfiguration pointed to something that wasn't a one-time thing. It's something we're supposed to live in, responding to on a daily basis. Yet too often we fall spiritually asleep. I challenge us to wake up. I challenge us to pray. I challenge us to listen. I challenge us to respond. I ask the praise team if they'll come up now and lead us. In our closing, as they do, I invite you, if you want to come forward, the altar's open. And I pray that God's Spirit continues to move here. And if you want to come and kneel and pray. This altar is here. It's open. It's available for you. There's nothing that can keep you from God. And you can pray right there. But sometimes there's something important about putting a stake in the sand, saying, "God, this is important enough to me that I'm doing this as a witness before God's people to make myself accountable for how important this is." And so maybe you need to do that. Maybe you'd like for me as your pastor to pray with you. I would love to do that. But God rarely goes any length of time without asking us to respond in some way. I invite you to respond however God would lead this morning. It may be salvation. It may be seeking to have that real relationship with Him. It may be becoming a part of this congregation, wanting to be a part of receiving and giving and whatever God leads this body of believers to do. But if you would, stand with us and respond as God leads. We will glorify. Hymn number 213. We will glorify. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the King of Kings.